said, hey, son, come help me.
Now
with
back
this
to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Marty and the captain, they're surely fine old friends. They've been working on their boat now since who knows when.
All right. Nice to have you back with us when I hear that song. It always makes me feel relaxed, and I know we're going to have a good discussion coming up, and that means that Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group is coming on, the San Jose Mercury News. And, Kerry, how are you tonight?
Marty, I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, it's quite a show, I want to tell you. This is, I've done this 23 years, and This may be the most unique of the 23 years, considering all the circumstances involved. But the enthusiasm of the people we've had on and just the tweets and texts and things that I'm getting, I just feel really good that baseball is stepping in as it has in our country's history before and giving us that little respite of entertainment. So it's been quite a night for me. We're supposed to go to 8 o'clock, but it doesn't matter. There's, nothing really coming on after me. So I could stay on for a while. So that I appreciate your patience, but that's what's going on with me. How are you?
Well, you know, Marty, it's funny because I knew that this was a unique show as soon as we found out that there was no hard out. We usually have to get off the air together so that you can turn it over to John and Dave and give them the game. But tonight I was sitting around. My roommates were on the couch listening to the Georgie Brothers ad telling me that I need to take advantage and get us some new furniture, maybe FaceTime them. And, it's different to come on and know that we can go as long as we want and talk baseball in a time when there really is no baseball. So it's enjoyable to listen and enjoyable to be on the show.
Well, we'll give you a Comrex unit, which is our broadcast unit. We'll put it in your house, and I'll put you to work. And
yeah,
you can do this with me as well. We'd love to have you on. The stressless chair, and I know I talk about it. I am not kidding. Kerry, I could sit in this chair for 10 hours, and you never feel anything in your back. And it really is it's something else. So I appreciate you bringing it up. All right, let's talk a little Giants ball. Tyler Beede. The Tommy John surgery, and I guess in a way I thought it would be coming, but I didn't think it would be that fast. And did he do it because of what's going on with the season, or is it just something that they had to do?
It was the second and third opinions that kind of forced him toward Tommy John surgery. The first opinion came from the Giants medical staff, and they said, maybe you can rehab this. Maybe there's a way where you don't have to have surgery. But they went to some outside experts. I believe he spoke with Neil Eletrosh of the Curlin Job Institute in Los Angeles and Keith Meister in Texas. And it was ultimately Meister who performed the surgery yesterday. And I think that it made sense all along for Tyler Beede. When there's significant damage to the elbow, as you know, Marty, for a young pitcher, it's pretty important to get the surgery done because, as Farhan Zaidi told reporters the other day, you're going to feel those symptoms eventually again, even if you do rehab and get healthy. And maybe Beede could have come back in July or August and put together a little bit of a season. But really, with so much uncertainty, I think it just made sense with the damage in his elbow to get the operation done, get it out of the way, and allow him to come back as a new and different pitcher.
Yeah, and where's the team going anyway? What's the point of waiting? And waiting until July or August, who knows what could be happening. They didn't have great expectations anyway. So it seems like it made sense. Look at Chris Sale. I mean, he was another one who put it off and put it off, and then he finally relented, and he had Tommy John surgery, too.
Then Justin Verlander having groin surgery. He had the arm injury earlier this spring. So I think a lot of players are getting some of these procedures done, although I don't know how many more procedures will be able to take place because we've kind of suspended elective surgeries around the country, at least in certain states. I know that that's been one of the ramifications of the coronavirus. So Beede was able to get his operation in, and maybe we have come to an end because I think just about everyone has gone home from their respective camps. I know the Giants shut down their facilities in Scottsdale, both the major league and minor league portion, and they're telling guys, stay away from even private clinics right now just to stay home and rest. So they don't want anyone coming into contact with anyone else, and they're going to wait this thing out. So maybe we have seen the end of the surgeries for major league players.
Yeah, and Beattie took a little heat for this, for doing it. But as he said, it's Texas, and he's close to home, and I guess their rules are not quite as strict about elective surgery. So he did have to go through that. But he, as he always is, he's very calm. And he's always very,
yes.
Isn't it amazing? Okay. You know, I'm sorry. I don't even want to give you a bad example. But something's happened, and he goes, that's no problem. We'll take care of it.
Yeah, I think Tyler Beattie's demeanor would surprise a lot of fans because he's been through so much in his career, a two-time first-round draft pick, first by the Blue Jays out of high school and then by the Giants out of college from Vanderbilt. And he was billed as the next great pitcher in the organization after Lincecum Cain and Bumgarner, and it didn't quite materialize quickly for him, really struggled in the minors, finally got to the majors and had signs of success last year. There were moments of brilliance, but he also finished with the ERA above 5. So the 2020 season was really supposed to be his year, Marty. And the fact that he's having surgery leads to even more uncertainty about his future. And there's questions as to whether he'll ever be a consistent middle of the rotation or front of the rotation force in the major leagues, especially with the Giants. And, you know, those questions will continue to persist over the next 12 to 16 months as he recovers from this surgery and comes back to the field. But Beattie has always been the same. He's always been calm. He's always been cool. He's always been collected, really a positive outlook on life. And I think that for someone to come back from a surgery like this and for someone to deal with all that he has dealt with in his minor league and now major league career, it's important to have that kind of perspective.
Yeah, and I think, truthfully, he's at the bridge right now. The fork in the road, so take it, as Yogi likes to say. And
yeah.
I think he's ready to blossom. I really did. I thought what he did last year at the end of the year, and of course what he was doing in spring training before the last outing that he didn't look good at all. There's a good chance that he may be ready to blossom, and the Tommy John surgery is something that he will come back from and have to work hard. And if he does put in the time to work hard, I think in a crazy way, this could be a blessing for him to make him work a little bit harder. So we'll see. We'll see.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he came back as a closer eventually, Marty, because he's got that electric stuff that you could use in short bursts. And I know that everyone has always looked at him as a starter, but it wouldn't shock me if the Giants tried him out of the bullpen in 2021.
Okay. I could see. Well, I could see that anyway, because he'll be coming back from the surgery, rehabbing, and they're probably going to want to take it easy with him. So 21, yeah, I could see that happening. Hey, Sean Anderson and Duggar were sent to the minor leagues this year. What was the point of that? Do you know? Why do it now? Is there a reason to do it now? What's the point of making these moves now?
Yeah, so Farhan Zaidi told us on a conference call that Sean Anderson and Steven Duggar were essentially no longer in contention for opening day roster spots. And if camp had continued, they would have been sent down. And so my hope is that that's really the only reason that that's taking place, because there's going to be some labor issues that arise, Marty, between Major League Baseball and the Players Association. Who gets paid this year if the season is shortened, which I assume it will be? Who gets paid if there is no season? And my hope is that all 40-man roster players will be paid, because you don't want to have a situation where players like Steven Duggar and Sean Anderson miss out on paychecks because they were sent down to the minor leagues during this hiatus in baseball. And of course, there are far greater issues to be concerned with throughout society right now. But if we're just talking about baseball specifically, you hope that they would still, not be hurt by being demoted during this hiatus.
Well, Ron Motis was on with us earlier, and once camps open up again, even though they're optioned to the minor leagues, Woe thought that who knows who's coming back? Who knows if Billy Hamilton comes back? And, you know, who knows how center field will look? Maybe Duggar has a shot to get back on the team. You don't know. Sean Anderson as well. So we'll see, until we see the players in camp. So they're still very much apart. But as you say, Farhan said probably not in contention to be on this roster. But there still remains a lot to be seen. So I'm glad you cleared that up for us. Will also said that the coaching staff and the manager, they get together quite often on Zoom or you know, one of these platforms. He said they're chatting all the time about plans.
That does not surprise me. Yeah.
Really? That doesn't surprise you, huh?
Oh, no, not at all. That sounds right up Gabe Kapler and Kai Correa's alley, does it not?
Really?
I mean, these guys love to be in communication. So the fact that they're young and tech-savvy, no surprise to me at all that they're on Zoom. I'm sure they have daily meetings. I'm sure that Kapler has them going at 9 a.m. every day talking about what they'll do during the second spring training, what they can evaluate from the advanced staffs that they have. And the you know, Rapsodo spit-outs and the Edgertronics numbers that they have from the first part of spring training, I'm sure they're poring over this data right now, Marty, because what else are they going to do right now? Go on an afternoon walk? I think that that might suit Ron Wotus, but it certainly doesn't suit the rest of the coaching staff that's looking to prove itself and for some coaches to make a name for themselves.
Now, you said 9 o'clock for Gabe. When did he sleep in?
That's true. Gabe probably has them on at 6 a.m. We know that that's
the time of
day.
Yeah. Well, you know the story. Yeah. With Gabe,
Of course.
I enjoyed questioning him prior to the games. You know, that was fun. Around lunchtime, I would ask him questions, and he'd say, "What do you think?" You know, so I'd tell him what I thought about having a closer or scoring runs early, and it was kind of interesting. So I said, I do these shows every Saturday and Sunday. It'd be nice to have you on as a pregame, just to let the fans know what you're going to be doing over the weekend, so they can get an idea who's going to pitch and what's going on in camp. So, of course, he said, "Well, let me check with Megan." And I got who's the PR person.
Yeah.
It's as nice as can be. And she sent me an email. It says, "Gabe says, terrific. He'd love to see you on Saturday morning. He can give you 10 to 15 minutes at 6 a.m. So I thought Megan was kidding when I saw her. I said, "Megan, that's a joke, right? This is a joke." So she says, "No, it's not. This is what he does." And I said, "Well, unfortunately, these pregame shows are going to go on without him." And that's the way it's going to be. So he's out there. He's out there.
Oh, yeah.
He really is.
Oh, yeah. The first time I met Gabe was at, after the winter meetings and sat down with him one-on-one, it was at 7 a.m. in San Francisco, Marty. And so I really felt like I had the luxury of sleeping in that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, as I said before, I just pray we'll have baseball.
There's
so many more important things and, going on in the world, and we've got to get together as Californians, as American citizens and people in the country, no matter how they're here. People have to work together no matter what age group it is, and that's the key. But baseball still was right at the beginning of what was ahead for them, and I know they're very nervous about what could be ahead. Football is a different story, and you've covered some football.
Mm-hmm.
They have the draft, they have free agency, training camps are until July. If the worst thing happened and they couldn't play till September, they don't care. They'll have one exhibition game and then play. But baseball has got that pressure of getting something going at some point. And it's different. Isn't it different? Don't you feel differently about football and baseball?
Absolutely. If you lived under a rock and only consumed NFL news, you would have no idea that other sports are stopped and on hiatus right now, because football is just chugging ahead as usual. Sure, they're not doing normal scouting stuff on the road, and their scouts are back at home, but free agents are signing. Tom Brady, the hated Sarah Padre, is now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and there's so much is going on in that world. And so I think it's interesting that baseball, basketball, and hockey have all come to a stop, as have all college sports. And you're right, there is going to be a clock at some point on baseball to see if they can get a season in, because we don't know how long this will last. We have no idea what the long-term ramifications of this will be. And so it was heartening the other day, though, to see a video of the Yomiuri Giants and Gerardo Parra making a diving catch in right field in a stadium with no fans, because it signaled that baseball is back elsewhere. And so eventually there could be hope that baseball could be back in the United States.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. That was a good picture. We talked a lot about the 2010 World Series, which we're going to do on the shows, just to go back and recall some of the specific players and events and incidents of that wonderful time, that first World Series championship, the whole playoff. If I ask you the question, Kerry, well, if I said 2010 World Series to you, what comes to mind first for you?
Probably Dave Fleming's voice crack on the Renteria home run. doesn't that ring a bell for you? I think that that's like the iconic moment for everyone who was watching and realized, you know what, this is finally going to happen for the San Francisco Giants. All the fans who've been waiting since 1958 when the team moved from the Polo Grounds out to Steele Stadium and the move across the country. I think that the Renteria home run was kind of the moment where people thought, you know what, this could be the real deal, and the Giants could finally bring that elusive title to the city.
Interesting. Renteria at short, Uribe at third. How about that?
I know. The lineups that you look back with what they won, I mean, that is why Bruce Bochy is without a doubt a Hall of Famer, because they never were favored in postseason series. They weren't favored in most division series. I mean, they had to go through the wild card in 2014, and to see what they did, three trophies in 5 years, I think it is a testament to the power of team chemistry in baseball, and the great Joan Ryan has a book coming out on team chemistry in pro sports, and it's also a testament to what coaches and executives can do in this sport that's different elsewhere, because, you know, in basketball, a few good players can really carry a team, but in baseball, you need all nine, and you need all nine clicking at the right time, and that's what happened for the Giants in 2010.
Yeah, sure. I love looking at the lineups and a lot of these older games that we went back to look at. The fun of is looking at the lineup, the Pete Rose and Bake McBride and names that, you know, precede you, but it's a good part of baseball history. The other thing, you know, people are coming up with favorites and this and that, and the one we used tonight a little bit with some of the guests, your first favorite baseball player and why?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Might be Kerry Wood, because he shared my name, and I had a Kerry Wood jersey when I was about 5 years old. Okay. I wish that it had said Kerry on the back of my jersey instead of Wood, but his 20-strikeout game for the Chicago Cubs was kind of the first baseball memory in my mind. So maybe the fandom was very temporary, Marty, but I think that because he shared my name, and that was a link to the sport. And also, I would probably go with JT Snow, because my first memory of watching baseball on television, it was right after I got my tonsils removed. I was 5 years old, and I was watching JT Snow hit a home run in interleague play against the Oakland A's in the first year of interleague play. And so I seem to remember that and recalling being drawn to baseball through that. So maybe those two players are the names that I would submit to you.
Yeah, it's great. I love hearing these things because you never know. Bruce Jenkins had Gil Hodges, the old former Brooklyn Dodger, L.A. Dodger. Ken Korak had Jim Fregosi today. Bill Lasky talked about Al Kaline as his. So it's. I love the question, and I love the reasons why. And I was asked, and I said, well, it's either Pee Wee Reese or Jackie Robinson, because I was in Brooklyn, and Pee-wee, you know, or Jackie. That was it for me. But I think my first real favorite player, and for some reason, and as I've told on the air, I became a Baltimore Oriole fan in New York because I like the bird on the hat.
I was
a member of the Audubon Society. I don't know how that happened. But the Orioles were my team. And Bob Turley, pitcher, and he was a Cy Young Award winner in 1958, and brought the Yankees back from a big deficit against the Braves. But Bob Turley was traded over from the Orioles to the Yankees with Don Larson. But I honestly, my first real favorite that I really, really, really remember following was probably Bob Turley. And I may be the only one in the country who liked him.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's what. So what are you doing with your time? What's up with you?
Well, that's a good question. They've shifted me over to the breaking news desk at the Bay Area News Group. So for the foreseeable future, I will be covering hard news and writing about the coronavirus's impact on the Bay Area businesses, Bay Area families, and whatnot. And so I'll be tackling all the assignments and helping our great team. And Marty, you know that I've always had a tremendous appreciation for the people in the news industry who do such incredible work and pour their heart and soul into covering the communities. And so just yesterday was my first shift, and to see the passion they have for helping people and informing people up close and talking to them in detail and learning about their processes was cool for me. It's going to be a huge undertaking just to get up to speed and to assist with the Bay Area News Group and the San Jose Mercury News' coverage of this, but it is the most important story, and it will be for years to come. And so any way I can help them is what I'll be spending my time with for the next few weeks and potentially the next few months.
Good. Well, I'm sure you're doing really well with it, and I've said it on the show, and it goes without saying that the people we respect are, you know, the people who are on the front lines, the medical mm-hmm. people.
Of course.
People in the groceries and, you know, and all this kind of stuff, whether it's in Mesa here or in San Francisco. And I've said it before, Aaron, you know, my 30-year-old is working in Byright in San Francisco, and he's working so hard. But he's there, you know, 5 days and, you know, keeping his hands clean and sanitizing and trying to do your best to, you know, keep social distance. But it's not that simple. And the people in those jobs really are the ones that you have to have a lot of respect for now. So I'm glad you're doing those stories, and I'm sure you'll tell it well. And if there's any baseball, you'll be, you know, putting that on the internet too, I'm sure.
Exactly.
So who knows? But good. Are folks okay?
Yeah, folks are doing well. They're listening tonight, as are the roommates. So we've got everyone listening, Marty.
All right. Well, I just got a text from Rob Georgie thanking me for having Tom on, and we love Rob and the family. But John Dugan, original Joe.
Oh, yes, of course.
So I don't know if you heard me earlier, but the Westlake Original Joe's is offering pickup and small group catering. Frozen packaged goods are there from the Westlake location. You can place an order, 650-755-7400. You can look at the menu. You can order anything you want. You can pick it up. And believe it or not, John, I have to see this to believe it, but John Dugan will be at the curb to give you your order when you come to pick it up. So,
and they're still doing their warm butter cakes, Marty, out at Westlake Joe's, which I believe are the best dessert I've ever had. And believe me, I have tried many, but I think that the warm butter cake that they do for dessert out at Westlake Joe's and Original Joe's is the best dessert in San Francisco, and it could
really
be the best dessert in the world.
I like that dessert. I have not had that yet.
You're missing out.
Tiramisu is generally what I get. Okay. All right. This is good. But the famous meat ravioli, the frozen options are there. So since you brought it up, and I know your parents and everyone loves Original Joe's, and you go to Westlake a lot. So that's where all this is happening. 650-755-7400 from 11 to 9 p.m., 11 a.m. to 9. Kerry, thanks so much, as always. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
Thank you, Marty. Always a pleasure, and looking forward to our next chat.
Absolutely. Take care. All right, that is Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group. I appreciate his patience tonight.